My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the living room, the place where intimate conversations are life-changing. I'm your host, Juliette Davis, and it's real good to be with you again. I hope you've been being vigilant. I hope you've been being safe. I hope you've been taking care of yourself and your loved ones, because listen, that's what it's going to take for us to be able to come out of this pandemic in one piece and healed and whole and prospering. That's what I believe. I believe if we were to take care of ourselves and take care of those around us, that we can come out on the other side. So it's good to be with you. Listen, I don't know about you, but I can't believe that it's already November. I mean, I remember waiting for spring to come. And here we are in the last 60 days of the year. I'm just in awe of all that has taken place in these 11 months, basically, that we are approaching the last 2 months of the year. And so as we get close to the end of the year, I start to think about what the year has entailed. I start to think about the challenges, the victories, the mountaintop experiences and the valley experiences, because we have those two. I start to think about the goals that I set for myself in January and where I am in November in relation to those goals. And this year, I've even given thought to the loved ones that have gone on, the number of people that I know who are no longer with us. And I'm telling you, I begin to say, God, thank you for every day is a gift. Thank you for keeping my family intact. Thank you for your hedge of protection. That is the kind of attitude of gratitude that I believe will give you the strength to make it when you are mindful of the blessings that are in your life on an everyday basis. And you remain grateful, I believe that pleases God. So let's always have an attitude of gratitude. Okay, let's talk about today's topic. All right, so I was out on one of these warm autumn days, and I remember walking through a shopping area, and I looked around and I saw that it was great to see people out again. It was great to see people, you know, enjoying the weather. But I also noticed a smaller group of people who were, I don't know, their appearance kind of stood out. And in short, as I looked at them and some of the things that they were doing, I realized that it could be that they just don't know who they are. And I arrived at that conclusion because of some of the things that I heard them say and some of the things that I saw them doing. And I just thought to myself, I said, you know what? If they even knew who they were, that would probably change everything for them. That would change their countenance. That would change their demeanor. That would change a lot of things about them if they only knew who they were. And I realized that thought stayed with me as I came home that evening. And I said, you know what? I believe that that's true of a lot of us. And while we might not have the outward trappings or outward appearance that we're struggling with our identity, everybody at some point faces a situation where they begin to question who they are. And so tonight, we're going to talk about who you are. And the topic is remember who you are. Now, when I think about this topic, one of the things that comes to mind right away is a scene from The Lion King. And in this scene, Simba has run away from home. He has witnessed the death of his father. He is very distraught. He's beating himself up because he realizes his role in his father's death, and he's blaming himself for a lot of the things that happened in his life. And he runs into Rafiki, and Rafiki is kind of symbolic of the sage, the wise man who comes along and gives him advice. And he immediately makes an observation about Simba. He says, "You're missing your father." "Well, I know where your father is," he says, "follow me." And so Simba and Rafiki go traveling through the woods, and they finally end up at this pond. And there at the pond, Simba looks down at the reflection of himself, and he says, "I don't see my father. All I see is a reflection of myself. Hear me now." And so Rafiki says to him, "Look a little closer. Look a little closer." And as he looks a little closer, he begins to see his father's image. And then he casts his eyes upward, and he could see his father's reflection or image in the clouds. And his father begins to speak to him, reminding him who he was. And as they have that moment, the last words that his father's voice says to him is, "Remember who you are. Remember who you are." Now, you can say what you like about Disney and their movies, and you might not be a fan, but let me tell you, that scene really does speak to many of the issues that you and I face every day related to our identity. I can tell you that in this day and time that we are living in, one of the areas that is always under intense attack is our identity, so much so that there has been a phrase that has been introduced in the last 15 to 20 years called identity theft. And it's essentially when somebody takes some of your personal information and steals it and then decides that they are going to become you and make transactions as if they were you. Well, I know another type of identity theft that's going on today. And that type of identity theft is found when we don't know who we are. When I think about the impact of social media, and when I think about how so many of our young men and young women are easily influenced, wait a minute, so many of us in general, not even focusing on an age category, but the impact of social media at large is that it challenges us in the area of who we are. Why? Because we're posting photographs and images of the things that we want people to see and know about us. And that is supposedly the reality. But we know that those pictures are only what? Snapshots in time, and they don't truly represent the continuum of a person's life. And then what's so tragic is that so many people have taken those images as an indication of a person's life to the point where they are comparing themselves to those images. And when they don't look like they look and they don't have what they have and not going the places that they're going, they begin to feel inadequate. I have counseled so many young women who have felt that sense of inadequacy because of the fact that what images are presented before them, they believe really does challenge who they are. They want to know, well, why am I not experiencing that? Why don't I look that way? Why don't I have that relationship? Why am I not going to these places? And all of that is what? An attack on your identity. So tonight, what we're going to do is I'm going to talk to you about remembering who you are. And the first thing that I want you to know about your identity is that the only person who is qualified to tell you who you are is the person who created you. And so if you have doubts and questions about who you are, I recommend that you go back to the person who made and created you. I suggest that you talk to God about who he says you are. I did a teaching recently on affirmations. And one of the things that I did early on in my walk as a Christian is that I got affirmations and I put them up in key places in my home, like in the bathroom, on the mirror, or on the dresser, or places in my on my dashboard in my car. Come on. And the affirmations would remind me who I was. And so I would read every day and recite every day that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that I am God's creation, that he loves me with an everlasting love, that I am salt and light. I am a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. And I would go on about all the things that God says that I am. And because that is the basis of my definition of myself, then that really became the buffer for all of the words that have been spoken over me that did not line up with who God said that I was. And so the first thing I'm going to tell you about remembering who you are is go back into God's word and find out what he says about you and begin to commit those words to memory. Allow your heart and your spirit to be infused with who God says that you are. The second thing I want to tell you is that God is invested in who you are, and he knows your name. His plan and purpose for your life is all wrapped up in your identity. He wired you on purpose. He made you the way that you are because it is in keeping with who he wants you to be. Because what? Because that's tied to your purpose. And so because he knows where you're going and because he knows what you'll be doing, he has shaped and formed you in such a way where you will be successful at what he has designed you to do. The Bible says that while you were yet in your mother's womb, he knew you. Ephesians 2:10 says you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, and he prepared you beforehand. All of these things, these passages of scripture, really remind us who we are. When I think about challenges related to identity, I think about the story of Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I know that that story has so much truth in it about how important it is that we remember who we are. And if you know the story, you know that Daniel and his three friends were taken into captivity by King Nebuchadnezzar when they were conquered by the Nebuchadnezzar's troops. And as a result of their being conquered, many times it was customary that the people who were conquered were then put into some sort of training program to be trained to serve in the new regime or the new leadership. And so Daniel and his three friends were handpicked, hear me now, because they were already the best and the brightest, because they were already intelligent, because they were already healthy and in great physical condition. And so our adversary is quite astute in knowing who we are, and his job is to get us to abandon and abort God's identity and to take on the identity that he wants us to have. See, his job, remember, is to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And so we've got to be very keen that he's after our identity. In this text, in Daniel chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, you can read that at a later time, but it describes how Nebuchadnezzar decided to change their names. Their original Hebrew names actually talked about God being my judge, and all of the things about God were reflected in their name. And you know, names denote character. So it's important to note that the first thing that Nebuchadnezzar decided to do was to change their name. See, he knew that if he attacked their identity, he could get them to conform and to comply with the new order of the day. But as long as they knew who they were, then they would be difficult to change. So what does that tell us about what happens in our lives today? It means that we have to protect our identity so that we are not easily swayed and manipulated by the things that go on around us, that you have to remember who you are. So he changed their name. He even tried to change their diet. But here's one thing that he could not change. He could not change their mind. And so when we talk about what do you do when your identity is under attack, or how do you remember who you are, you must have a made up mind. You cannot allow the things that go on around you to change who you are. In Isaiah 43, verse 1, it says, "But now, thus saith the Lord, he created you, O Jacob. He formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine." What an assurance we have today that he knows our name, he has called us by name, and we belong to him. Don't let anybody mess with that, because that's territory that's off limits. That's a line that you got to draw that you can't allow anyone else to cross, because your who is very, very important. There are times in our lives where we don't know the what, we don't know the why, and many times we don't know the when. But I'm telling you that when it comes to your identity, you better remember the who. You need to remember who you are, and you remember who God is. And when you get that who straight, then the what and the why and the when can come and go. And many times you may not know those answers to those questions for many days, but rest assured, put your anchor in the who. And can I say this? Don't walk around with your who messed up, because then you're vulnerable to the attacks on your identity. When your who is not straight, then people can come and try to define you, try to tell you who you are, tell you how you should conform, tell you how you should behave. But you have to resist that. And the way that you resist that is you make sure that you've got your who straight. Listen, not only should you not walk around with your who messed up, but let me tell you this, don't let nobody mess with your who. And many times you'll need to look in the mirror and rehearse who you are. Many times you'll need to say, just as I said earlier about those affirmations, why? Because I can't let anybody mess with my who. And people who are attempting to control or manipulate you, or when adversity even, I know what I'm talking about here, when adversity even tries to mess with your who, then you will find yourself in a place where you will really be challenged, because don't let the circumstances change your who. My. Okay, The next thing I want to tell you about your identity and remembering who you are is remember who you worship. You see, in this passage of scripture, this story about Daniel and his three friends, there was a mandate, a decree that was issued by Nebuchadnezzar. And the issue was that anyone who was in this Babylonian kingdom, when they heard the sound of the musical instrument, they had to stop whatever they were doing and bow down to this golden image that he had placed in a very visible place so that it would be no secret what was taking place, and everyone without question was supposed to stop and worship the image of Nebuchadnezzar. Well, let me tell you something. This was in contrast and in conflict with what Daniel and his three friends believed. And because they remembered who they worshiped, they made a decision that despite what decree the king may have issued, they decided that they would not bow down. Well, by this time, the musical instruments sounded, the people bowed down, but Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow, did not bow. And as a result, it became very visible. What? Because they were left standing. And in this text, we see that. We see how they were having to stand and having done all stand. They were in a place where their identity was challenged to the point where they knew that they couldn't hide, that they couldn't be undercover, if you will, that it was going to be apparent to everyone that they had made this decision not to bow. And so as soon as it became, you know, it became apparent that they were not going to bow down, Nebuchadnezzar was enraged. He was incensed. He was angry because he could not believe that these young men had decided to publicly and openly defy him. I think he was a bit of a narcissist, if I have to say so myself. And so as a result of that, he wanted to make an example of them. And so as we read in chapter 3, what happens to these three young men and Daniel is that they're taken to this fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar provides instructions that he wants these Jewish captives to burn in this fiery furnace. And he had them to turn up the heat in the furnace so that it was hotter, seven times hotter than it had been. And as a result of that, then he felt like he was going to watch literally and witness their destruction. But something happened that day that Nebuchadnezzar wasn't expecting. And that brings me really to my last point. And that is, do not allow the fire to override your faith. Do not allow the fire to override your faith. And so those three young men and Daniel still remained true to what they believed. They remembered who they worshiped. They would not allow their who to be messed with or to be messed up. And they had a made up mind. And so when they were placed in the fiery furnace, the three Hebrew boys, as Nebuchadnezzar watched, he noticed something happened. There was a fourth man in the furnace. And here's what Nebuchadnezzar said. His observation was this: and he looks like the Son of God. Wow. So you tell me that in the Old Testament, before we actually come to know Christ in the flesh, that Nebuchadnezzar makes an observation about somebody looking like the Son of God? This was a moment of profound revelation, because these young men, not only did they go into the fire, but they were not burned. But the Bible goes on to say that not even the hair on their head was singed, not even the smell of smoke could be found on them. My God, that they came out of the fire and they were not burned. I believe that this passage of scripture is in the Word of God to remind you and I that when we stand true to what we know is the Word of God, and when we hold fast to our identity and we don't allow anybody to change us in terms of our faith and our alignment with God and His Word, that the outcome is that we'll come out of the fire and we won't be burned. We won't be consumed, because that's what the fire represents. The fire represents being consumed by your problems, being consumed by the adversity in your life, being consumed by the things that you're going through or the things that your loved ones are going through. No, He's telling us that when we know who we are, and here's the point, and when we know whose we are, that we are able to come out of the fire on the other side. Listen, Daniel and his three friends told Nebuchadnezzar, from the time that they knew that their fate was the fiery furnace, they said, "O king, we are not careful to share this with you. We're not watching our words when we say this, that we know that our God is able to deliver us. But just in case He doesn't, we want you to know that we will not bow down and we will not worship." This was a statement that came from a place of being confident in who you are. There are certain things in our lives that come along, and they have the capacity to cause us to lose sight of who we are. But I want to encourage you today that no matter what it is that you may be facing, remember who you are. Remember that you are God's workmanship. Remember that He made and created you in His image. Remember that He is your source and your supply, and He promises to never leave you nor forsake you. Remember who you are. Listen, beloved, I hope that this has been a word of encouragement for you. I hope that you can hold fast to these words and hide them in your heart. I hope that you can put them in a safe place. This message can be put somewhere where you can access it at a later time, because I guarantee you that as we approach the end of 2021 and we look forward to the beginning of a new year, there will be instances when your identity will come under attack. And when it does, you have already been provided the tools that you need to be able to come out of the fire and not be consumed. I'm so glad that you were able to join me today in the living room, and I hope that you'll be able to tune in next month. And then again, in the month of January, I've got some exciting guests that are going to be on the show, and you're really going to enjoy it. If you need to reach me, I would love to hear from you. I can be reached on social media under the heading of Juliet Davis or Juliet Davis Ministries, or you can contact me on Instagram and Twitter under the handle of true_journey, or you can send me an email, because many of you have, and I enjoy receiving emails from you. The email address is destinyempower@gmail.com. So here's what I say at the end of the show, because I mean it every time I say it, because I am a living witness to this statement. The Word of God has transformation power. May His Word change your life forever. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Chat and Chuckle with Keita Keet. I will be your host this evening, Keita Keet. Thank you so much for joining in tonight to all of my listeners around the world. Thank you so much. You all could have been anywhere, but you decided to tune in tonight, and I just want to say thank you. Real quick, if you would like to contact me by whether it's by email or social media, if you just want to say hey, or you just want to say, Akita, I really like what you're doing, or if you have any prayer requests, whatever it is, you can definitely contact me. My email address is lovetomakeyoulaugh@yahoo.com, and that is spelled L-U-V, the number 2, M-K, the letter U, L-A-F-F@yahoo.com. I can also be reached on social media, on Facebook, as well as Instagram, and that's Keita Keet, and that's K-E-T-T-A-K-E-E-T. All right. So listen, we're just going to jump right into tonight's topic. And tonight's topic is getting out of our comfort zones. Yes, that's right. getting out of our comfort zones. If I could just share a quick personal testimony, when I tell you that God is definitely working on me, helping me to get out of my comfort zone. These past couple of weeks alone has really showed me that the comfort zone, it's not where I should be. So let me just say this as well. I've never been a person to be fearful of new tasks, new assignments, new opportunities. Never been a person to be fearful about those things. You know, a lot of times when I'm presented a task, I try to hit it head on, not really being fearful in doing it. But I will say this. Just what God is doing in my life, from what I've seen for the last couple of weeks, has definitely taken me out what I consider my comfort zone. And I will tell you that when I first started experiencing it, if I could be totally honest and transparent, it felt kind of weird. It really did. It felt kind of weird, but it felt good. If that makes sense. It felt weird initially, but eventually I understood or began to understand what was really going on. And so though it did feel different, it did feel odd. At the same time, it felt really good. And so that's why I want to discuss about us as believers getting out of our comfort zone. Okay. For those of you who do know, or for those of you who don't know, just want to share this real quick. Within the last couple of weeks, few weeks, I have launched my new business, Jeans and Sneaker Girl Entertainment LLC. I've launched my new business, have my new business logo, and just last week, I actually released my very first single ever. My very first single, my rap song, my Christian hip hop, entitled My Light. So when I say like within the last couple of weeks, God has definitely been doing a new thing. That is an understatement. but I am so excited about what God has in store for me. And there is so much more that is to come. So I am definitely speaking from experience of, you know, when God takes you out of your comfort zone and how great it feels, you know, once you're taken out of it, you know, because like I said, at first it kind of feels odd. It kind of feels weird, you know, because maybe, you know, you start thinking like, well, Lord, is it really you? Is this the right time? You know, a lot of times we hold ourselves back. I'm speaking for myself. I'm taking total responsibility, total accountability for actually holding myself back. That blame does not go on anyone else but me. And so a lot of times we hold ourselves back because we're sitting here questioning and wondering, like, God, is this really you? Is it the right time to do it? Are the funds there? Are the resources there? But this is what I have come to realize, not just these past couple of weeks, but just in my Christian walk alone, is that God is waiting on us. I'm going to repeat that. God is actually waiting on us to move. You know, Ludacris. Shout out to Ludacris, who had the song back in the day, "When I Move, You Move," just like that. Well, God is basically telling us the same thing, but he's saying, when you move, I'll move, just like that. So, so that is what I have come to realize just, you know, just over time, just in this Christian walk, is that sometimes that we'll hold ourselves back, wondering, and the whole time God is saying, no, I am just waiting for you to move. So for those who are listening tonight, for all my listeners, if there is something that you feel that may not be the right time to do it, or if you feel that you are actually the one holding yourself back, I think this is a great time for you to seek God about it. And so you can get clarity on what it is that you what it is that you need to do. Ask Holy Spirit to show you, you know, exactly what it is that you should do to, you know, to kind of confirm some things for you on, you know, on your next steps, you know, because we have all been there. You know, we don't want to, you know, we sometimes hold back because we're scared that the steps that we make, it may be a mistake. And, you know, we may have to start all over again. But when we allow Holy Spirit to guide us, and when we talk to the Lord, you know, talk to God daily, you know, when we have that relationship with God, we know we can go to God about anything. And so I think it's just important for us as believers that we don't hold ourselves back. But that we seek God so we can get clarity on things and trust and believe God is going to confirm his word every time. Sometimes it may not even come the way that you thought it would come. You know, sometimes it does come through the teach word, through the preach word. Sometimes it may even come through a total stranger. It may come through a commercial. It may come through something that someone said on social media. But if God has a word for you, trust and believe he's going to get that word to you no matter what. It may come a dog could walk up in the yard with a message in his mouth, a piece of paper with the message in his mouth. I mean, it could be a message in a bottle. However God wants to get that word to you, trust and believe he is going to get it to you. Amen. So just real quick, just want to, I had to chuckle at that myself. Cause this is chat and chuckle. just want to, talk about a couple of scriptures, you know, about what does the Bible say about getting out of our comfort zone. And, you know, throughout the word of God, it talks about us not being in fear, you know, not, you know, that we should not fear. You know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We have Joshua in Joshua, the first chapter, verse 9 in New King James Version. It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So we can take comfort in knowing that, you know, even though he was talking to Joshua, that word is for us too. You know, even now, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So just know that God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Also, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, New King James Version. It says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Glory to God. That last part of this verse, this whole verse is awesome. But the last part of this verse really speaks to the nature of God. "I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." That means that no matter what I just said, that when God has a word for you, he's going to get it to you no matter what. So this is saying that no matter what is going on, God is going to make sure that you are taken care of. Even if he has to make a road in the wilderness. Everybody knows when you think about the wilderness, you're thinking about a bunch of trees, a bunch of trees and dirt. That's when I think of the wilderness, that's what I think about. You know, when people go on nature hikes, on wilderness hikes, and they go out in the wilderness, that's what I think about. A bunch of trees, rocks and dirt. Rivers in the desert. Everyone knows that there is no water in a desert. It is dry. It's nothing but dirt, okay? Nothing but sand and heat. But God says that I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So that means that whatever it is that God has called you to do, whatever it is that that he has purpose for you to do, that he is going to make a way out of no way for you. We just have to step out of our comfort zone, put our hand to the plow, and get going. Amen? So God is waiting on us. All right. And my last scripture I have is Jeremiah 1:5. And the reason why I really I wanted to definitely speak on this scripture is because, as I said before, that I have now launched my new business with which is called Jeans and Sneaker Girl Entertainment. And it's not jeans like blue jeans, but it's actually jeans like DNA. That's the G-E-N-E-S Jeans and Sneaker Girl Entertainment LLC. And God actually gave me the vision of this years ago. It was a long time ago, and God is saying now is the time, to release it. And the foundation of my business is off of the off of this scripture. It's based off of this scripture. It's Jeremiah 1, verse 5 in the Message Bible. And it reads, "Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you, a prophet to the nations, a prophet to the nations. That's what I had in mind for you." And so reading this scripture and understanding what it means, that God knew us, knew all about us. Before we were even in our mother's womb, God knew all about us. And he had holy plans for us. That is important. He didn't just have plans for us. He had holy plans for us, meaning that the plans that he had for us was to flow in his purpose for our life, for his kingdom. The plans that he had for us was his plans, amen, to increase his kingdom. And in increasing his kingdom, we will increase as well. The word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so while we are seeking his kingdom and flowing in our purpose and destiny that he has for us for his kingdom to increase his kingdom, we will also increase as well. All these things will be added unto us. So it is, when it comes to God, it is a win-win. And so he had holy plans for all of us, a prophet to the nations. And that's what I had in mind for you. And of course, he's talking to Jeremiah in this text. But he, as believers, we can grab hold to this verse as well, knowing that God already has an awesome plan for our life. So we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be fearful or anxious or full of worry when it's time to step out of our comfort zone. Amen. Because once we step out of that, you know, once we step out of that comfort zone, God is waiting for us to bless us, to give to us what we have been seeking. From him, whether it's financial, whether it's resources, you know, no matter what it is. And it's all about the purpose that he has for our life to advance his kingdom. Amen. Praise God. So real quick, before I close, I want to just touch on this awesome Bible plan that I found, and it's entitled Called Outside Your Comfort Zone, that was written by Pastor Samuel Rodriguez. Okay. And again, this is an awesome Bible plan that's found on the Bible app. And again, it's entitled Called Outside Your Comfort Zone by Pastor Samuel Rodriguez. Okay. And the title of this devotional is called Outside Your Comfort Zone. And it reads, once we learn to thrive, we will be called to break through barriers and blaze new trails. That's because God's vision is always bigger than our own. His plan for our lives is always bigger than we can imagine for ourselves. When you're living a holy, healed, healthy, happy, humble, hungry, honoring life, you will be called to thrive outside your comfort zone. Based on what we see in the Bible, most of the people God chose to advance his kingdom didn't aspire to greatness, but simply remained willing and able to serve in whatever capacity the Lord called them to serve. Many of them protested or made excuses. Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Gideon, Naomi, and Rahab, for example. Others, including Noah, Joseph, Joshua, Jeremiah, and Ruth, faced obstacles that appeared impossible to overcome based on human perception and earthly resources. One of my favorite examples, however, this is what he said. One of my favorite examples, however, never questioned, wavered, or doubted God's ability to use him according to his infinite wisdom, limitless power, and divine will. David was always willing to trust God for the next step, which is essential for thriving in the power of God's Spirit. As the shepherd king discovered, trusting God often requires ignoring the advice, opinions, and counsel of other people. But thrivers, those people whose spirits have been awakened by God's anointing in their lives, aren't afraid to disrupt existing systems or traditional paradigms. Sometimes drastically altering or destroying a system or structure already in place is exactly what God wants us to do. Hallelujah. Woo, that is a word. That is a word within itself. Glory to God. And in order to destroy these systems and structures that have already been set in place, we have to get out of our comfort zone. And we have to get out of our own way and let God lead us. Amen. Glory to God. So that is it for tonight's show. I pray that something that was said has blessed you and definitely has encouraged you. If you are, you know, if you're kind of struggling in this area about what to do about stepping out of your comfort zone, you know, if there is some fear or anxiety of really not knowing, just trust God. Amen. Trust God and seek Him to find out exactly what it is that you should do. Get clarity and remember to walk daily with the Holy Spirit. Ask Holy Spirit to reveal those truths to you, to show you exactly what it is that you should do. And it just makes life, you know, Holy Spirit makes life so much easier. Amen. So you all have a wonderful evening and awesome weekend. You all be blessed. Good night.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.